Pressure low.
This song's kind of my theme song. I guess if you ever have one, this one's mine. I sang it a couple Wednesday nights ago. And, you know, I tend to worry a little too much about everything. But I'm looking for a day sometime where we don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about our children. We don't have to worry about our parents. We don't have to worry about who's going to be elected president. None of those. I guess if we have to worry about anything, we'll just have to worry about who can get to the Lord first. If there's anything we have to worry about in heaven.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
Down here the burden's heavy, and the road is rough and long. Sometimes my feet get weary and so sore. But a brighter day is coming, and soon I'll stand on heaven's shore. And I won't have to worry anymore. No, I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. And my eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry anymore. Someday when life is over, and I've said my last goodbyes, I'll see my Savior standing at the door. I will hear Him say, "You're welcome, and all your cares are left behind, and you won't have to worry anymore." No, I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. And my eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry anymore.
I thank the Lord for giving me a good wife.
Amen.
He's blessed me so greatly, and a lot of times I treat him so bad. Brother Ricky asked me to sing "Under Grace." There's a scripture in Titus 3 that I'd like to read. It goes along with that real well. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." I think we're all kind of guilty of those things at times. It says, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done," which our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. You know, we have no righteousness if it's not of Him. "But it says, according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." And listen to this part, "that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." You know, it's just by His blood and by His mercy and grace. You know, it's just by His mercy and grace that I woke up this morning. You know, we don't have nothing if it ain't for Him and through His grace. Under grace, my guilt is gone. My chief accuser lost the war. No record of my sin remains. It's buried deep under grace. Just search as far as east to west, or to the ocean's lowest depth. You'll find no record of my past. You'll find my Savior's righteousness. Under grace, my guilt is gone. My chief accuser lost the war. No record of my sin remains. It's buried deep under grace. I could not meet the law's demands, but God in mercy had a plan. His Son's own blood my sin erased. My pardon now reads under grace. Under grace, my sin is gone. My chief accuser lost the war. No record of my sin remains. It's buried deep under His grace.
All right, that's a blessing, ain't it? If you're saved, know that your sins are under grace. And thank God for His marvelous grace. In the book of Matthew this morning, the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we want to read a few verses of Scripture there this morning and ask you to follow along with us in the Word of God. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 15 this morning, while you're finding that, again, let me say it's good to see each one that's come out today to be in the service of the Lord. Good to see Miss Mamie with us this morning, and glad to have her today here in the house of God. And also, we place some voter guides out on the bulletin table. Encourage you to get one of those. Just gives information about candidates. Encourage you to get one of those because election will be coming up week after next, and it's our responsibility to go out and vote. So I encourage you to do that. In Matthew chapter 15 this morning, beginning in verse number 21, the Bible said, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Thank you. May be seated. Our Father, as we come this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus today, we come, Lord, to call upon Your name. Lord, that name above all names, that name that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And, Lord, we're thankful this morning that we, Lord, can say down in our heart today that Jesus is the Lord and my Savior, my Shepherd, my Guide. And, God, as we come this morning, we pray this morning that Father God and the Holy Ghost will help us preach about the Son of God and magnify and lift Him up and give glory and praise and honor to Him this morning that's worthy. Now, Father, I confess my inability, my inadequacy, Lord, to be able to do it without the help of the Holy Ghost. And I pray this morning that, Lord, as You know each heart, You know where each people's come from this week and where these people, Lord, what they've been through this week, what they're going through next week. And, Lord, You know what to put in my heart to say to help them. I want to be a blessing today. Lord, we pray for that one that might be here today that's not saved, maybe more than one. And we pray today that they might meet Jesus Christ as their Savior today. And Father, we just ask today Your forgiveness of my failure, my sins. I thank You for forgiveness. I thank You for cleansing, salvation that's full and free. And now, Lord, we look to Thee. Ask Your blessings upon this service. Meet with us today. May Your presence manifest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I've been preaching now for 6 weeks, a series on people who met Jesus. And we've been through different people in the Bible that has met the Lord. And here this morning is someone else in the Bible who met the Lord Jesus. And this is someone that, again, that we can identify with, and we can maybe identify even more this morning with this person and maybe even some that we have preached about in the past. Now, there's something about people that have things in common with us. We migrate toward those people. If we know that someone has had the same problem that we've had, we like to get around those folks. If we know that someone is involved in the same thing that we might be involved in, we like to get around those folks. If we know people have a common interest or hobby that maybe that we enjoy, we like to be around those folks that we might be able to discuss those things that we have in common. And here is a lady this morning, a woman in the Bible, and we have some things that we can identify, the most of us, if not all of us, we can identify with this woman this morning. And we can identify, first of all, with her title. Because this woman is a Gentile, a Syrophoenician woman from the land of Canaan. And she's not a Jew like many of the others that we have talked about were. But this lady, her title would be a Gentile. That's what we are today. Someone said, what's a Gentile? Well, that's anybody that's not a Jew. We're a Gentile this morning. We can identify with the title that's placed upon her. And then we can identify this morning with the trouble that she has. She has family problems. Has anybody ever had family problems? She has problems with her daughter. Has anybody ever had problems with a daughter? You say, well, I've never had problems with a daughter. Then you must have a son. But we find that we can identify with people that have family problems. Amen. Here was a lady that had trouble. We can identify with this lady not only because her title was Gentile and because her trouble had to do with her family, but we see also that this lady, unlike a lot of people in the Bible, all she could do was pray a little tiny prayer. All she could say was, Lord, help me. She couldn't pray a big, long, pharisaical prayer with long words and names for God that many had never even heard of. But all she could say was, Lord, help me. I'm glad that God helps Gentiles. I'm glad that God is a present help in time of trouble. I'm glad that God hears little tiny prayers. That when our heart is so heavy sometimes that We cannot find words, and all we can do is say, Lord, help me. I'm glad that God hears those kinds of prayers. But you know, in this setting here, we find Jesus in a way that we have not found Him in the past. We find Jesus here a little different from what that we have found Him in the other five cases that we have studied about people that have met the Lord. He's different here in the response He gives. Here is a lady that comes brokenhearted, that has come the distance. Her heart is broke. She has went as far as she knows what to go, and has done all that she knows how to do. And she comes to Him and says, Lord, could You have mercy on me? And the Bible said He doesn't even respond. He doesn't even say a word. He doesn't even give an answer, the Bible said. And then we see not only that, but we see that He's almost at the point, and the Lord, He hardly ever comes across this way. The Lord never is this way unless dealing with hypocritical Pharisees and religious people. The Lord never is this way. But sometimes He comes across that way. But the Lord here was not only in His response, not a word, but He almost comes to the point of rudeness when He does speak. Because the Bible says He calls this woman more or less a dog. He said, lady, He said, I'm sent to the house of Israel. And He said, you don't take the children's bread and give it to dogs. In other words, saying that she was a dog. Of course, we understand that in Bible days, the slang word used for Gentiles was dogs. And this woman was a dog. Can I tell you this morning that all that you and I are is just a bunch of old Gentile dogs. But we see the Lord was His response, not a word. We see here He's almost rude. And then He seems reluctant in even doing anything at all. It seems like He's not going to even do anything to help this lady that has come to Him. Has there ever been a time in your life that you called upon God and it seemed He did not respond? Has there ever been things that happened in your life and almost to the point it seemed like that God was even showing rudeness toward you? And maybe this morning you're here and you say, preacher, it seems like God's reluctant to do anything to even help my situation. I want to say this morning that things are not always as they appear. And I want to say this morning, if you don't get a lot that I say, get this statement this morning, that delay is not always denial. Just because the Lord didn't answer today doesn't mean that God is not going to answer. And so in this setting this morning, we have in the Word of God two people. We have this Syrophoenician woman, this Canaanite woman, this lady that comes to Jesus here. And then we have the Lord. We have Jesus here, this Jewish Messiah, Jesus, the Son of God. I find my text this morning in verse number 27 there. And I want to title the message this morning, A Gentile Dog That Met a Jewish Master. A Gentile Dog That Met a Jewish Master. I want to look first of all this morning at this Syrophoenician woman. The Bible tells us here in verse number 22 in our Bible, and I want you to look at it and read the Word of God. But the Bible said, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, the Bible says. Now, when it says she came out of the same coast, it's a reference back to verse 1 where the Bible said that Jesus had departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. This was a place that had been pronounced a judgment of God upon it. God said it'd be more tolerable in the days of judgment. He said concerning this place and some of the things that had went on in this place. So this woman was in a cursed place. This woman was cursed herself. She's a Canaanite. The Bible said she is a woman of Canaan, the Bible says. And so we see here that as the Lord, Mark tells us here,
that Jesus had come over into the coast of Tyron and Sidon. But Matthew doesn't tell us a little insight that Mark does. This same story is recorded in Mark. And Mark tells us much of the same thing. But Mark tells us that Jesus, that He came over into the coast of Tyron and Sidon, and He said He had went into a house. But Mark tells us that He went into this house, and He did not want anyone to know that He was in that house. But then Mark gives us this little nugget there in Mark 7. He gives us this little word there in Mark 7 in verse 24. He says He didn't want anyone to know it, but He said He could not be hid. I'm glad this morning, thank God, that He cannot be hid. Amen. If He shows up this morning, you will be aware of it. Amen. I tell you, wherever Jesus is, He cannot be hid. Amen. And so even though Jesus did not want anyone to know where He was, the Bible said that this lady, that she found out where that Jesus was. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus is always in the finding range of people that are looking for Him. Turn me up a little bit, Calvin, in the monitors maybe. I'm glad that Jesus is always in the finding range of those that are looking for Him. And here was a lady that was looking for Him. Now I want to just give you a few things about this Syrophoenician woman, this Gentile dog that came looking for the Lord. The Bible tells us here that there was a reason she was looking for the Lord. The Bible tells us here that there was a desire in her heart. There was something that caused her to look for Jesus. You say, what was it? Well, the Bible says, look in your Bible there in verse 22. The Bible says that she said, "My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Her problem is her family. She's not looking for the Lord for herself, but she's looking for the Lord because her daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. You say, what does that mean? That means there is a devil that is tormenting her daughter. That means that there's a devil that is troubling her daughter. You say, Brother Rick, does that still happen today? Oh, yes. America is filled with young people this morning that are troubled by a devil. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, it's the truth. The devil come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. When you look at many young people in America, yes, they're misguided. Their home life is wrecked and not what it ought to be. They've not been brought up in the ways of the Lord. And the devil's having a field day in America today. Amen. When you look at these young people that are all marked up and earrings and tattoos and nose rings and eye rings and everything else rings. And that rings to me that God is not in control of their life, but the devil is in control of their life. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I got grandkids that's got that stuff. Well, you ought to be glad I'm preaching this morning. They need to hear it. We all may have grandkids that's got this stuff. The way things are going, the way things are looking. And you know, it bothers me bad when these young people in America are looking this way. But what bothers me even worse is when there's grown-ups, 30, 40 years old, that look that way. Amen. I don't think y'all liking this, but I don't remember asking if you did or not anyway. We was in the mall last night, just sitting there looking at people. Always when I go to the mall and you say, what are you doing in the mall? I find that bench. And I sit down there and I pray. You say, what are you praying for? First of all, my wife will hurry up. And second, for these people I see walking by, they need it. But when I look at all these people, and I seen this guy coming down through there, and the guy had ears that, I mean, they looked like you would have put two coffee cups on the side of his head anyway. I mean, if I had ears like that, I'd be trying to hide them, not draw attention to them. But the guy come down through there with earrings in these ears that look like coffee cups on each side of his head. And I thought, my Lord, what would make people look like that and do stuff like that? And there's only one answer, the devil. You say, why? Because the devil perverts everything. He perverts beauty. He perverts music. He perverts the house of God. He perverts everything. Amen. And here was a woman that had a daughter and she had a devil. And she come to Jesus. You see the problem this morning. In America, we forgot there's a devil. We really, for the most part, forgot there's a God. But there is a God. But if you don't believe there's a devil, then you've knocked out about 50% or more of what's wrong with your children and your grandchildren and many grown-ups. Is that there's a devil in the world that never does let up. You do this with your children and that with your children. But this woman knew this much. She knew the one that could help her daughter was Jesus. And so she came looking for Jesus. Amen. She had a desire. Her daughter had a devil. And then we see when she come to the Lord. You'd think, you know, that it's not like Jesus to discourage somebody. But it seems like that all this woman met was discouragement. For the Bible said that she came to Jesus, and in verse 23 we find that the Bible said He answered her not a word. He didn't say anything. He didn't say, I will, I won't, I know what you're going through, I've been praying for you, I've been looking for you. He answered her not a word. Then the Bible says, not only him, but it said in verse 23, his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. And the Lord didn't say nothing to her. Then his disciples come up and they said, Lord, get rid of this woman. She's crying to us. She's bothering us. Just get rid of her. You know, a lot of people that come to church, the church wants to get rid of them. You say, why? They need help. They need Jesus. But the average church member, all they want to do is bring their Bible, sit on a pew, hear 30 minutes of preaching a gospel song, and head somewhere to get a steak and a salad. They don't want to be bothered with sinners. They don't want to be bothered with people that have problems. They don't want to be bothered with people that need help. They say, Jesus, send them away. His disciples said, send him away. And then Jesus comes right behind with these crushing words. And he says in verse 24, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is not meet or fit to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Man, you're talking about discouragement. Here comes this woman. I don't know how far she's come. I don't know how long she's cried, probably all night. I don't know how long she's looked for Jesus. But when she gets there, wham, 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 wham. Four things that discouraged her right off the bat. I see her discouragement. You ever felt that way? I have. I felt that way. I felt like the Lord didn't say a word. I felt like God's people didn't really want to hear my problems and what I had to say and what I was going through. They'd rather me just go away. I felt like God's blessings were for other people and not for me. And God loved this one, but He must not love me that way because my life's not going as good as their life is. And sometimes we face discouragement. But remember, things are not always as they appear. So I see her desire and I see her discouragement, but then I see her determination.
Amen. How about
that? Well, this woman's got determination.
Yes, amen.
That's something that most Christians don't have today.
Right.
They're spoiled.
Amen.
They can't take trials.
Amen.
They can't take adversity.
Yeah.
They can't take anything that offends them.
Amen.
I have preachers in here sometimes and people get offended. Whenever we have something like a jubilee or a revival or camp meeting, and people weeks or two or three weeks later, they start telling me who they liked and who they didn't like.
Yeah.
And I found out after 28 years of preaching that folks never like people that preach against their sins.
Hey.
And they love people that preach about other people's sins, and they really love people that preach about no sins at all.
Amen.
If you don't believe it, tune in Joel Osteen tonight.
That's right. Yes, sir, brother.
Hello.
Amen.
You know where you're at? Yes, I know where I'm at. I'm in an independent Baptist church in Glasgow, King James Bible, heaven preaching, hell preaching, preaching it right, preaching against sin, believing the Word of God's true, believing that we ought to live right, do right, act right, love right, worship right. That's where I'm at this morning.
Yes, sir. Amen. Good preaching.
The reason some people come in here and get offended is because they think they're at Osteen's place. I've had people come here and say, Brother Rick, our church is not like so-and-so's church. I said, there's a reason for that.
Amen.
They say, what is it? I say, we're not trying to be.
Amen.
Her determination. You see, the Bible says in verse 22, look in your Bible. The Bible says that, behold, a woman of Canaan came out. She came out.
Right.
She's determined to find the Lord.
Amen.
And so she comes out, but then when she finds Him, she cries out.
Amen.
Hey, Lord.
Yeah.
Have mercy on me, Lord.
Yeah. Right.
She come out. She's determined. She cries out. But I want you to notice this, that she continues even after those things are said to her. She does not tuck her tail and go home. She does not say, you shouldn't have talked to me that way.
Amen.
Do you know who I am? I'm not that bad a person. I used to go to church. I read the Bible every now and then. I watch the Gaither singing sometimes. Who do you think you are talking to me that way? She didn't say that.
Right.
You say, what'd she do after all that? Well, just look there. Just look down there in your Bible.
Yeah.
And look down there in verse 27. Verse 25. What'd she do after all that, after Him preaching to her that way?
Yeah.
What did she do?
Yeah. Right.
She came and worshiped Him.
Hey. There you go. Okay.
And she said, truth, Lord!
Hey.
Didn't my sister give a good testimony last Sunday morning? Well, that blessed my heart. I've run on that all week long. You say, what'd she say? She sat over at that piano and said there was a time in her life that she thought she was better than other people because that she hadn't been involved in some of the sins that other people are involved in. But she said, I realize today I'm just a worm. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. Just a sinner that needs to be saved by the grace of God. I tell you, brother, that's the attitude we ought to have. That we're just sinners saved by the grace of God. Just Gentile dogs. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You say, what was your sister saying? She was saying, truth, Lord. There is none good, no, not one.
Amen, brother.
sin and come short of the glory of God. Truth, Lord. I see this woman's determination. You can get something from God if you're determined. You can get a blessing if you're determined. You can get answers for your family problems, your marriage problems, your children problems, your financial problems, your physical problems. You can get answers from the Lord if you're determined. The first time you come to pray and heaven don't come down, glory fill your soul, and you go home, your daughter or boy standing at the door with angel's wings. You go home and you meet them the same old problem that you left when you got there. And you say, well, this God stuff don't work. I'm going to give up. You ain't going to get nothing from God.
Amen.
I tell you something, your children's worth holding on for. I know you get discouraged. I get discouraged. But they're worth fighting in prayer for. They're worth standing for God for. They're worth holding on for. They're worth continuing to pray and tell them the same thing over and over and over again for. And if you got determination and if you got the willpower to stand and the stickability to stay with it, God will do something for you. We see her determination. And then we see her definite plea. She didn't come to God like a smorgasbord.
That's right. Yeah.
With 1,100 things on there, and she don't really know if she wants any of them. She's just throwing up stuff in prayer to fill up time and hoping God will catch one of them. But the Bible said when she comes, she's got a definite plea. And she says, Lord, what I want is mercy, Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad I found mercy.
Yes. Amen,
brother. Amen. I never will forget that old illustration of that lady that went down to one of these places where they take family photographs, and she didn't have a family, but she went in to get her picture, took one of those glamour girls. And she walked up to that photographer and she said, sir, what kind of camera's that? And he told her what kind it was. And she said, does it work well? Will that camera give me justice? He stepped back and looked at her and he said, lady, you don't need justice. You need mercy, lady, is what you need. I want you to know that what you and I need, we don't need justice. We need the mercy of God upon our life. Amen. I'm glad I got mercy. If I got justice, I'd be in hell when my back broke this morning. I'm glad I got mercy, thank God.
Good preaching.
There's no use wasting God's time coming to Him and telling Him how you failed your children. You didn't take them to Sunday school. You didn't read the Bible with them. You didn't pray with them. There's no use of us wasting God's time telling Him all that stuff. He already knows it. But what we ought to do is like this woman, say, God, just mercy, Lord. Just mercy, Lord. I'm telling you, God is able to reach down and change situations and circumstances when there is a determined soul. We see her definite plea. And then in verse 27, we see her divine insight. Oh, I mean, four discouraging things. The devil's telling you, you ain't going to get nothing from God.
Right.
They don't even want you around here. He's not even talking to you.
Right.
And he's done flat told you that what he's got's for Israel. It's not for Gentile dogs like you. But this woman got some divine insight. Because
right.
She says, truth, Lord. But she said, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the rich man's table.
Right.
You say, what's she saying? She's saying, you're right, Lord. I'm just an old Gentile dog. You're right, Lord. The blessings, and they belong to Israel and to the Jews. But Lord, I'm just a little old Gentile dog. But God, I know You're merciful. And Lord, even though that what's on the table's for the Jews, I believe, God, You've got enough that there's bread to spare, that those crumbs can fall off, and a puppy like me can get something from God. Amen.
That's right.
Good preaching.
I'm glad some of them crumbs fell off to me.
Amen. That's right.
I'm glad one day I got a big crumb of grace.
That's right. Amen.
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 I'm glad one day I got bread from the Father's house.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad God's got something for me.
That's right.
And I don't care where you come from and what you are and what your background is and what you've done or what you're doing right now. God's got something for you. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're precious in His sight. God's got something for everybody. And God had something even for Gentiles. And you see, the Lord knew what He was going to do. The Lord knew that He was going to turn to the Gentiles one day. But this lady didn't know it of herself. She's like Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto her, but her Father which was in heaven. And I think God was prodding her on, saying, don't quit. God's got something for you. You ever felt like quitting? Something just prodding you on.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Don't quit.
That's right.
Amen. Don't give up.
Amen.
Man, we started this work 28 years ago in a storefront building with a handful of people. And only heaven's record knows how many times that I almost give it up. But something was prodding me on.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. You say, what was that? The Lord. And I know what it was. And I thank Him for it almost weekly, if not daily. I thank the Lord for the grace of God. You don't know how many times that I've been tempted to backslide and go back out in the world just like everybody that's ever been saved. But something kept prodding me on, pushing me on. You say, what is that? The grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. Amen. Here is a woman, Brother Joe, that had some divine insight into the things of God. She's saying, I think God's got something for me. He said, I may not sit at the table, but I believe I can get under it.
That's right.
Yes,
sir. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
He may not have set me out of chair, but I don't think He'll bother me going up and under
it. Amen. That's true.
Amen. You see, when a king sets a table, it ain't like when a pauper sets a table. And there ain't nothing, there ain't even no crumbs left. I mean, everybody's trying to get what's there. There ain't nothing left. But when a king sets a table, when Solomon set his table, amen. You say, Brother Rick, what are you trying to say? Well, there's a story in the Bible, in the book of Samuel, in the 9th chapter, about a boy named Mephibosheth. He was just a dog. He said, Lord, I'm just a dog. You know, there's something about all them people that say they're a dog, they wind up the king's table. Next thing you know, old cripple Mephibosheth, he's on the king's table. I mean, he's saying, pass me the ham. Pass me them biscuits. Pass me that gravy. Pass me that plate of chicken. Give me some of that ribeye steak. Pass me that salad. Someone said, he's a cripple. Yeah, he is, but nobody knows it because he's under the king's table. It is, ain't it?
Yes, sir, brother. Good preacher.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir.
God has got something for us.
Right.
Here's this Syrophoenician woman, this Canaanite woman. Let's take a minute here and look at this Jewish master. See, she's a dog. And what a dog needs is a master. And you see, if a dog, if he'll recognize that master, he can get something from him.
That's right.
I got a dog named Jack. And I got a sermon I preach called, I wish I could love the Lord like old Jack loves me.
Amen.
And first time I preached that, our bus driver sitting on the front row, and his name's Jack. And everybody's looking around like something going on there. No, they ain't nothing going on. I'm married. 2 kids. About 7 grandkids. No. But you know what? He got me back the other day. Penny gave him a dog. He said, Penny brought me my dog. And he said, I named it. I said, what'd you name it? He said, Rick. But I tell you what, if a dog recognizes its master, It can get something. We pulled in last night, and while we were out, I bought my dog some dog food. When I pulled in, he's waiting there in the drive, looking up. You say, what's he waiting for? He's waiting for his master. Am I telling the truth? You say, what'd you do when you got out of the car? Did you take your stuff in? No, I got out, walked over there, opened a can of dog food, and I gave it to my dog. You say, why? He was waiting for me to give him something. And I tell you, if there's anybody here this morning that's waiting for him to give you something, you can get something from him today. This Syrophoenician woman, this Jewish master. Verse 22 said, she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. You say, what happened? This Gentile dog just now met this Jewish master. And she's going to get something. Now, you see, she's going to leave knowing that this man she met, she's going to know some things about him when she leaves. I think she alluded to him anyways because she didn't leave. She had determination. She held on. She wouldn't give up. But when this day was over, she knew some things about this Jewish master. You say, what'd she know? Well, first of all, she knew that there was, that his methods had a purpose. He wasn't just being mean. He wasn't being rude. He wasn't just being reluctant for no reason at all. But his method has a purpose. This is seen in verse number 28 when Jesus answers and says unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. You see, if he had not been reluctant, if he had not seemed to come across a little rude, if he had not stood and not answered her a word, nobody would have known what great faith this woman had. Sometimes God draws away. He's silent. Sometimes He doesn't answer right away. He doesn't take care of it right away. Why? Because God wants people to see that you believe in God and you're trusting God and you have faith in God. And everybody can see then the faith that you have to keep on serving God even when it's not easy to serve God. Even when things are discouraging. His methods always have a purpose. You ought to write that in your Bible. Because there'll come some times that you won't understand what God's doing. It seems like He's being mean, cruel, and rude. We need to remember that He's not that way. He always has a purpose. His method has a purpose in what He's doing. And then we see here that she's seen His measure is always accurate. You see, He knew just how far to go. Oh, she probably could have been broken. She probably could have been driven away. But He knew just how far to go. Isn't that our God? He knows just how low to let us go. He knows not to let us go one step farther. He knows not to let us go one inch lower. He knows not to put one more thing on us. Because He knows exactly what it'll take to bring us to what He's trying to bring us to. Amen. The little boy's standing in a grocery store. He's got sugar and flour, bags of stuff stacked in his arms. And each time the man lays something in his arms, he goes lower. And the woman comes by and she says, Sonny, said, you about to get overloaded, ain't you, son? He looked over without a word or thought. He said, no, ma'am. Said, that's my Father. He knows how much I can pack. I'm glad I got a Father in heaven that knows how much I can pack. Amen. And He's promised not to put any more on us than what we're able to bear without making a way whereby we can't escape. Amen. I'm glad that she knew now that this master, this Jewish master, he knew just what she needed. Amen. See, God's drawing faith out of her. See, He's drawing it out of her, boy, where everybody can see it. That's what God does with your life and my life. She knew this. She knew His mercy was great. He's right. He sent to the law, to the tribes of Israel. She's right. She's alienated from the commonwealth of God. She has no right to these promises. She's an alien. And she's a Gentile dog. But she knows that this is a person of mercy. Amen. I'm glad He's merciful, aren't you?
Amen.
Oh, thank God.
Right,
I'm glad that even when we're wrong, He's merciful.
Right.
Boy, everything that He said about her is the truth, and it's listed for us in Ephesians 2. But I'm glad, glory to God, that right down there in Ephesians 2, it says it interrupts and God butts in.
Right.
I like it when God butts in.
Amen.
It says we were lost and walked according to this world and all lust of this world. But it goes down through there, but it says, but God, who was rich in mercy and grace, amen. I'm glad there's a Father in heaven, got a Son named Jesus. The Holy Ghost has been sent down to tell us that God has mercy, amen. God has mercy. She knew His mercy was great. She said, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Lord. Well, it's a good prayer. Well, she sure prayed a good prayer. She prayed, Lord, have mercy on me. Say anything else? Yeah, she said, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Well, that's two good prayers. When they come from the heart, there's two prayers that'll work every time. Have mercy on me, Lord, and help me, Lord. Brother Joe, she saw His means of operation was by faith. The Bible says, He said, oh woman, great is thy faith. He said, woman, He said, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. He said, lady, He said, you sure know how to get things from me. You get down real low. You get down real humble. Say, God, I don't deserve nothing. I'm a dog. God, You're right, truth. I don't deserve anything. I just want mercy, God. He says, lady, you sure know how to get something from me. Just get down real low. And then believe me real high. I just believe God. I just believe God. You know how you got saved if you are saved? You know how you'll get saved today if you're not saved? Get down real low.
Right.
Confess everything Jesus said about you is the truth.
Right.
And then believe God.
Right. Amen.
That'll do it, amen. Her means, His means is faith. And then I want to say this. She knew on the way home, she's going home. She come a crying. I believe she's going home smiling. And she's going home, and I don't believe she's going home saying, boy, I hope when she comes to the door, she's all right. I don't believe she started home, met somebody on the road, and they said, where are you going? She said, I'm going home, see if my daughter's all right. I've been talking to Jesus about her. No, I believe she went home. They said, hey, we met you this morning. You look different than you do today. Yeah, my daughter, she's all right now.
Amen.
Hey, we met you this morning. You're crying. You're laughing and grinning. Yeah, yeah, the Lord got rid of that devil my daughter had. You say, how you know He did? He told me.
That's it.
Amen. That what I wanted, I'd get. So she goes home. She goes home and she comes there. Maybe her daughter's standing at the door. Hey, Mom.
Hey, amen.
I feel better.
Praise God.
Hey, Mom, I'm sorry the way I've been acting.
Yeah.
Hey, Mom, I know I shouldn't sass you. I know I shouldn't do things like that. I know I need to. I got my bed made up, my room cleaned up.
Hey,
you say, boy, I wish my kid'd get rid of a devil. What I'm saying is, when they sit down at the supper table that night, and she sits down with her family, yeah, she's cried a river of tears. Yes, she went a long ways. Yes, she went through discouragement and trials and difficulties. But now she's sitting there with her devil free, girl. And she's saying, God is worth waiting on. God's miracles are worth waiting for. Amen. I'm telling you to hang on. I'm telling you that what God's got for you is worth waiting for. Amen. Yes. Let the devil walk over your kids. God gave them to you. You latch hold of that throne of God. You just keep believing and praying. You say, what do I do when I doubt? Do like the man we studied last week. Say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help my doubt. But you just keep holding on and believing God. Amen. And I tell you, when this woman, she met this Jewish master, she knew now that there's somebody in control of her life and somebody watching over and cares about her and is able to help her, thank God. Yes. Oh, to see people get right with God, get saved. Amen. Amen. You young people, you need God in your life. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Boy, it's a wicked world. There's not only a devil out there, but there's only the Lord knows untold how many numbers of devils out there.
Amen. Amen.
I tell you, all kinds of spirits, unclean spirits, spirits of homosexuality, spirits of lesbianism, spirits of drugs and unclean spirits and all kinds. You need God in your life. Stand against these things. You don't have to look like the world and be like the world and act like the world. You can have God in your life. You can be different. And I want to tell you this morning, the best way for you to live your life is to live your life for Jesus Christ. And stay with the things of God. Amen. And I'll tell you what these young people need. They need some of us parents to step up. And if you are standing, keep standing. If you are praying, keep on praying.
Yes, sir.
My God, if you've got grandchildren, you don't pray for them every day, you ought to get on this altar.
Amen.
Ask God to forgive you and start praying for them every day. They need our prayers. If you've got children, you're not believing God for them every day, you need to plead God for them every day. They need your prayers and your help. Amen. This lady's, she's not there for herself. That's what most people's there for.
Right, come on.
She's there for somebody else.
Yes, praise God.
You know, it'd be a good thing if some of you that are saved, and I appreciate people going to the altar, and every preacher likes to see people go to the altar, but I'm not much into people just going just to be going because it's altar call.
Yeah.
But if you need to go, go. But I'll tell you what, it'd be a good thing if people started using this altar for other people. The average Christian sitting there this morning thinking, I'm saved, I'm all right, I'm going to heaven, I'm not that bad a person. I go to church every now and then. Well, it's not all about you. It's about your children, your grandchildren. And some of us are here today, if not all of us, because Jesus prayed, but because some of us had some people that cared about us and prayed, and we don't even know who they were. It may not have been your mother, it may not have been your father. You may have had parents that didn't love God, didn't serve God, didn't care about the things of God, but maybe a neighbor.
Yeah.
Praying.
Amen.
Amen. You never know who's praying.
Exactly right.
You never know.
Yes, sir, brother.
I tell you, God needs us to rise up
and
get serious and do like this woman, go to Jesus and start praying for our families and our children and our lost loved ones and grandchildren, these little kids in the church, these little bus kids that ride the bus. Well, Nathan, Stacy, and JT and Zeb, and the ones that work with teens, different ones, they do a great job working with these young people. But I'll tell you, they'll touch your heart. I went up there after church Wednesday night. They had 30 kids just in children's church Wednesday night, 30-plus kids. Brother Jack had already made... He had to make 3 loads to get them all here. Go to thank God for you bus drivers. Jack Rish and Bill Gillock. You're home with your feet kicked up drinking tea, and they're still out running the roads getting people home many times. I tell you,
Boy, they got some determination to keep going. But I went up there the other night, and these little bus kids, and they had to, he done took one load home, and Nathan Stacy and JT and Zeb and them, they have to wait till he gets back. Of course, they're not home till late either. But I went up there, and they had a whole load waiting, and then a few extra. And so when Jack come to get that second load, there's a little boy there. And I kept watching him. They have the kids sit down. They play games with them and to keep them quiet and stuff. And I seen one little boy over there. He's a little old bitty boy. And I noticed he kept fooling with his tooth. I didn't know what he was doing. He's sitting there, and he kept doing like that. And all at once, he jumped up. His eyes about that big. And he said, "I got it." Come over there, blood on his hands, blood on his mouth, blood on his tooth. Come over there. I said, you need a bag to put that in, don't you? And he said, yeah. And TJ got him a Ziploc bag and a handkerchief. He put that tooth in there. Of course, waiting for the tooth fairy. We went back there and cleaned him up, washed him up. And Jack come got that load, and there's about five left over. And I said, I'll just take them in my truck, and that way you won't have to come back and make another load. So I loaded them in, had that little boy in there. And I took him around where they got off. He's the last one to get off. He gets ready to get out. And I said, son, you got your tooth? He said, yeah, I got it here. I got my tooth. And I reached over and gave him a little money. I said, here's you some money for your tooth. Walked him up to the door. Parents come to the door there. But I got back in the car. And I tell you, God touched my heart.
Amen.
Them little kids, boy, they need somebody to pray for. They need somebody to believe God for them.
That's right.
They don't have a Syrophoenician woman for a mom like this girl did.
Yeah.
They need somebody to believe God and hold on to God for them until their mama can find Jesus.
That's right.
So much this church could be doing, it's not doing, because we just want to sit around and not do anything.
Right.
We're saved, waiting for Jesus to come, load us up, and take us home. We don't want to get involved. We don't want to take a chance of getting offended. We don't want to take a chance of getting sued or getting in trouble. If God's not big enough to take care of me and somebody sues me, then I'm just going to quit and give it up.
Amen.
I quit worrying about that junk.
Amen.
I got a God in heaven that's big enough to take care of it. Amen. And if he ain't, then shut it down and sell the property and do something else. I'm telling you. There's so many little kids out there that just need somebody to believe God for them.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Father, I thank you for these people. They've listened this morning. I've preached long and could keep on preaching. But Lord, I didn't know you.